The Gilly dressmaker had put her heart into Meggie's dress. It was sleeveless and had a low draped neckline. Fee had been dubious, but Meggie had implored, and the dressmaker assured her all the girls would be wearing the same sort of thing. Did she want her daughter laughed at for being countrified and dowdy? So Fee had given in gracefully. Of crepe georgette, a heavy chiffon, the dress was only slightly fitted at the waist, but sashed around the hips with the same material. It was a dusky, pale, pinkish-gray, the color that in those days was called ashes of roses. Between them, the dressmaker and Meggie had embroidered the entire gown in tiny pink rosebuds. And Meggie had cut her hair in the closest way she could, to the shingle creeping even through the ranks of Gilly girls. It curled far too much for fashion, of course, but it suited her better short than long. Hattie opened his mouth to roar because she was not his little girl Meggie, but shut it again with the words unuttered. He had learned from that scene in the presbytery with Frank long ago. No, he couldn't keep her a little girl forever. She was a young woman and shy of the amazing transformation her mirror had shown her. Why make it harder for the poor little beggar? He extended his hand to her, smiling tenderly. Oh, Meggie, you're so lovely. Come on, I'm going to escort you myself, and Bob and Jack shall take your mother. She was just a month short of 17, and for the first time in his life, Patty felt really old. But she was the treasure of his heart. Nothing should spoil her first grown-up party. They walked to the homestead slowly, far too early for the first guests. They were to dine with Mary Carson and be on hand to receive with her. No one wanted dirty shoes, but a mile through Drogheda dust meant a pause in the cookhouse to polish shoes, brush dust from trouser bottoms and trailing hems. Father Rafe was in his soutane as usual. No male evening fashion could have suited him half so well as that severely cut robe with its slightly flaring lines, the innumerable little black cloth buttons up its front from hem to collar, the purple-edged Monsignor sash. Mary Carson had chosen to wear white satin, white lace, and white ostrich feathers. Fee stared at her stupidly, shocked out of her habitual indifference. It was so incongruously bridal, so grossly unsuitable. Why on earth had she tricked herself out like a rattled old spinster, play-acting at being married?